Thank you. Oh, you're all red back here. I should look more often, apparently. That was a great, great anthem. Very appropriate for today, very lively, so hopefully woke a few of you up so that you're ready. I do want to thank everyone for being here today. I know that every time we have a holiday weekend around this place, I wonder whether Darren and I are the only two people here. But what we did was we did a little research, and we found in the rules of rules that all of you who are here today get credit for two times in worship. You get an extra bonus credit for being here today. And if anyone came in from the river or gave up a time at the river to be here, you get a credit for three times here today. Now, the flip side of it is that anyone who's not here today, so when you see somebody who's not here and you see them during the week, you tell them they have to make up an extra time for not being here today. So I just wanted to let you know what the rules were on how that worked with holidays and people coming to church. But it is good to have you all here, and it's good for us to be together on this day, not only because it's the right thing for us to do on every first day of the week, but because it is Pentecost. And Pentecost is a part of our Christian heritage. It is a part of our story together, and it is a part of our Christian calendar to remind us of the dual celebration of the presence of the Holy Spirit, and therefore, because of that presence, we celebrate the birth of the Christian church. And so this is a very special day in the calendar of the church, and it's good for us to be together and to remember and to rehear our story, because indeed it is our story. It may not be a story that we're as comfortable with as other stories that are part of who we are. It's not as comfortable as the warmth and wonder of Christmas that we celebrate, the birth of Jesus. It's not as overwhelmingly joyful as Easter that we celebrate, but it is one that we need to recall and to remember and to be reminded of what it means for all of us. So I'd like to share our story as it's recorded in the Acts of the Apostles in the second chapter, beginning with the first verse, the first 21 verses. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. even upon my slaves, both men and women. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. May the Lord bless this portion from his holy word. Pentecost is not a favorite of ours. We can be honest and we can admit that, can we not? Obviously, it doesn't draw the congregations that we get for Easter or for Christmas, but it is a very important time for us to look at, to remember and to recall and to claim it as a bit of our holy history. But I know that we are always made a little uncomfortable when we think about the Holy Spirit. We always get a little squirmish when we read the story of what happened on that first Pentecost day so many, many years ago. And I think that it's a hard holiday for us. It's a hard season for us to celebrate because we like to have things decently and in order. We like to do things in a proper manner. We like to do things in the way that we are accustomed to. We like to have everything in the proper place, in the proper time, in the proper manner. And I thought, you know, maybe today I'd throw you all off and I'd ask Jane to ring the bell 12 times just to see if that threw us off. It probably would. I'd probably get a call tomorrow morning from somebody saying, did Jane really ring the bell 12 times? Because we do like to have things in a comfortable manner. We like to have things, as we say, decently and in order. That's a part of who we are. And so when we start to talk about the Holy Spirit, it makes us a little uncomfortable because who among us can control the Holy Spirit? Who among us can say to the Spirit, well, no, this is Sunday and this is how we do things on a Sunday? And it becomes a very uncomfortable thing for us because we do not like to lose control. We don't like disorder. We don't like chaos. We don't like mayhem. We like things nice, straightforward, and proper. It's part of who we are. It's human nature, I would say, to like things in a comfortable pattern, in a comfortable manner. And so we are very skeptical any time that the subject of the Holy Spirit comes up. It makes us a little uncomfortable because we don't know where it's going to lead or how it's going to work out. A good friend of mine by the name of Jimmy White, he and I grew up together since third grade. We went through school together, we went to church and youth group, confirmation class together, and we're still very good friends, and we keep in good touch with each other. But Jimmy, after he graduated from high school and served a stint in the military, settled down away from our hometown and got married and started attending the Presbyterian Church in Owego, New York. And he was telling me about it because that church was in the middle of a very difficult time when he joined that church. There was a split in the church, and what had happened was the charismatic revival had come upon the church, and there was a number of members of the church who began to speak in tongues. And they would start praying in tongues in the middle of a Presbyterian worship service. And it became a very divisive issue within the life of that congregation. And I always loved the way that my friend Jimmy described the issue. He said it was a conflict between now listen carefully, between the charismatics and the mellows. And he was right in that description, is because those of us who are not of the mindset of speaking in tongues and experiencing those kinds of things tend to be appreciative of the mellow. You know, we like our favorite hymns, we like to hear the choir sing nice anthems and a good prayer by one of the pastors and a semi-decent sermon every once a month or so. We're happy with that. And, you know, we tend to that. And the problem came that the charismatic group became chasmatic because they drove a wedge between themselves and the other members of the church. They started to say things like, well, you know, if you were really a follower of Jesus Christ, you'd be speaking in tongues too. If you were really a disciple of Jesus Christ, then you would want all these spiritual gifts. And it also became very hard to have any kind of conversation in that church, because how do you argue with somebody who says, well, the Holy Spirit told me that this is what you ought to do? Now, how do you argue against the Holy Spirit? And so it became a chasm between the charismatics and the traditionalists. So Jimmy's description of the charismatics and the mellows was, I thought, a brilliant description, although he might not have intended it to be that brilliant. And so we are always a little scared of, a little skeptical of, because we think of the Holy Spirit in those terms. We think of the Holy Spirit as doing miraculous things, you know, bringing down, speaking of tongues and healings and all sorts of the things that we associate with Pentecostal congregations and charismatic congregations, and that doesn't seem to feel right to us. And I'm not saying that it's wrong for them. I respect them. I respect how they worship. I respect how they experience the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but I don't think that was the intention of the Holy Spirit, and particularly on that first Pentecost day. Now, I always say the first Pentecost day, but I found out something, and I hate to admit that I just learned this. I had always thought that Pentecost was a Christian holiday. I always thought that Pentecost was all about the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the Christian church. But when I was doing my preparation for this sermon today, now, wait, everybody here, please tell me, you all thought that Pentecost was a Christian holiday, right? That's all it ever was? Please nod your heads. Make me feel better. Okay. Thank you. Choir, did you not? Thank you. Okay. It isn't. Pentecost is a Jewish holiday. Before, it was a Christian holiday. Pentecost was celebrated 50 days after the celebration for the barley crop coming in. I did not know this. They celebrated the barley crop because apparently, and I don't know anything about farming, but apparently barley was the first crop that came in. And so it was the first of the harvest celebrations that the Jewish tradition celebrated. And so 50 days after they had that feast to celebrate the barley crop, they had Pentecost. And that's where it comes from, is penta, meaning 5 or 50 in this case, 50 days after the barley crop celebration, which if I was smarter, I'd remember and tell you what that celebration was called. But anyhow, it took place on the 50th day, and it was a celebration. It was a celebration of the gift of the Ten Commandments. It was a day on which they celebrated receiving the Ten Commandments so that they would have that guide from God for how they ought to live their lives. And another interesting thing, I didn't mention this at nine, sorry, I like this trivia stuff, so you got to bear with me. That part of the tradition of the Jewish Pentecost is that the Ten Commandments were given to Moses from God with one word. A single word was spoken, and Moses had the Ten Commandments. Well, I think that the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the Christian church on that Pentecost, on their Pentecost, was a reminder for us that the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to us not for great signs of miracles, not for giving us special gifts that make us feel good about ourselves, but that the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to each of us to help us to know on a regular basis, on a daily basis, how it is that we ought to live. It's as simple as that. That the Holy Spirit is given to us to guide and direct us in our lives individually, and in our life together as a community of faith. The Holy Spirit is given to us to help us to live our lives in that way that fulfills the commandments. And remember, it was Jesus who said that the two greatest commandments are these, that we should love the Lord our God with our heart and our mind and our strength. Everything that we have, everything that we are, ought to be given to show the love of God, and that we ought to love our neighbors as ourselves. So the Holy Spirit comes to us to help us to fulfill those commandments. The Holy Spirit dwells within us to help us to know the difference between right and wrong, to make the good decisions that show the love of God in and through our lives. The Holy Spirit comes upon us and comes within us to help us to live our lives in such a way that when people look at us, they can tell that we love the Lord our God with all that we are. And they can tell that they are loved by us because He first loved us. So Pentecost is not necessarily about seeing miraculous signs and wonders and speaking in all sorts of different tongues. It's all about the simplicity and the challenges of living our lives the way that God desires us to live them. The coming of the Holy Spirit enables us to live our lives with love, with grace, with mercy, with forgiveness, with gentleness and kindness and generosity and all of those other gifts that the Spirit gives to us, so that the world might see through us the very love of God. So we shouldn't be so afraid. We should celebrate Pentecost Sunday. We should look forward to it, to be reminded that the Spirit is present with us, helping us to love the Lord our God with all that we are, and helping us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Would you pray with me? Almighty and ever-loving God, we do give you thanks for that amazing gift of the presence of your Spirit in each of our hearts and our lives. We ask, O Lord, that you would give us open minds, open hearts, open hands, to allow that Spirit to work through us so that we might do your will in this world, that we might be your ambassadors of love and of good news, that we might love one another so that all around us might know of your love. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.